And we're going to just spend a little time in the Word of God. If the hospitality team would like to come around with Bibles, if you haven't got them, we have got Bibles in Farsi, Russian, Spanish, and Mandarin, and English. And if you'd like to turn to Ephesians 4, and we're continuing our series in Ephesians. Let me just pray. Lord, we thank you for your Word. It is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. And so, Lord, we ask that you would illuminate our way this evening. Show us your truth. Amen. So we're in Ephesians 4, and we continue where we left off last week on from verse 11. And I'll read it. So, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we're on the wrong... I think we're on last week's sermon. I will keep reading and they'll find the right sermon. Because that would not have gone well. End of verse 13. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together with every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Great. Okay. Ephesians is an amazing book, and it is the go-to book, the pinnacle, if you like, of Paul's theology of the church. And Ephesians 4 is the most significant chapter with that regard. And last week I unpacked the seven ones in Ephesians 4 to 6. But it is in verses 11 to 13 that are most extraordinary of all. So what is the point of the church? The point of the church is to become mature. And what does maturity look like? Well, maturity looks like the fullness of Christ, to be full of Jesus. And how do we get there? Well, we get there through the equipping of the so-called fivefold ministries. That's a summary of verses 11 to 13. Now, have you come across the acronym APEST? Who's heard of the acronym APEST? Ah, you are so much better informed than the morning congregations. Well done, the PM service. So the acronym APEST stands for Apostle, Prophet, Evangelist, Shepherd, Teacher. And it comes from Ephesians 4:11. The problem is that it's not the model on which most of the church has traditionally been built. I mean, what are church leaders generally called out in the world, in the US, for instance? What would you call a church leader?
Pastor.
Pastor. How many times does the word pastor appear in the New Testament?
Three.
one. Once in Ephesians 4:11. It's the only time. Once. And yet we've adopted it to call our church leaders that all the time. You see, the problem is that since the 4th century, that's over 1,500 years, the church has been largely led by pastor teachers. Now, Alan Hirsch, who I'm a bit of a fan of Alan Hirsch, he's a great writer, and he speaks at New Wine, and he's a genuinely nice guy as well. But I forget whether it is 5 or 7 books that he has written now on Ephesians 4:11, on one verse. I think he's probably got a little bit over preoccupied by it. But we do actually need to listen to Hirsch, because he's got something very important to say to us. And what he's done is he's likened the 5-fold ministries to human body systems. So we all have human body systems. So we have cardiovascular, skeletal, neurological, digestive, muscular, reproductive, respiratory, and various other body systems. And if 3 of your body systems shut down, you would be in hospital. You would be critically ill, probably in intensive care. And yet, that's kind of where the church has been for 1,500 years, where the church has been led predominantly by pastor teachers, ignoring the apostles, prophets, evangelists. If we are to attain the fullness of Christ, to be full of Jesus, to get that maturity in the church, do you not think we're going to need the full gamut of the 5-fold ministries? We're not going to need just pastors and teachers. We're going to need apostles, prophets, and evangelists, all fully expressing their gifts. The church is going to need to go ape. Do you like that? Apostles, prophets, and evangelists. We need to go ape. We need to live more adventurously and more dangerously. Now, at St. B's, we're fortunate with this regard because we have quite a few of the apostolic types like Chris Alexander and Helen Shannon and the likes. And we have quite a few prophetic people like Marianne and David Vincent around. And we have quite a few evangelists like Mike Pavlou and Michael here. And why are they all called Michael? Anyway, so we are blessed. We have some of the go ape variety of the 5-fold ministries. And of course, we need the pastors and the teachers as well. We don't want to not have them. We just want all the 5-fold ministries to be fully expressed in our church. So here's the picture. Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So we need apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in order to raise up what? More apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. You see, we're not talking about some elite set here. We're talking about everyone. We're talking about all of us becoming mature and full of Christ. For too long, the church has been like a football match, which is 22 people rushing around a pitch desperately in need of a rest, watched by 22,000 people desperately in need of some exercise. It's said that most organizations run on the 80-20 principle. Have you heard about the 80-20 principle? It's applied in all sorts of ways. But if I can apply it to the church, because I think it does apply, and that is that roughly we see 20% of the people doing 80% of the ministry. Or perhaps even 20% of the people giving 80% of the money. Of course, it's a crass generalization, but it's probably not that far off. So not only do we need the fivefold ministries, all five of the fivefold ministries, but we need it with everybody involved to break through that 20-80 principle. Let me just address the 20% of the people giving 80% of the money. Is that true? I don't know, actually. I haven't got the stats. I like to think that, you know, we do better than that. But certainly there is a minority of people who are giving disproportionately more than others. I believe the Bible encourages us to tithe, that is, to give 10% of our income to the local church. Now, it's not a law. We don't live in the old covenant where we're bound by law, but it is in the Bible nonetheless. And the Bible encourages us to live life generously with an open hand, including with our money. As some of us, that'll mean that we can give more than a tithe. Jane and I have always had our ambition to give more than a tithe. But a tithe's a great starting point. Now, if everybody here at St. Bede's tithed, we would have a full sufficiency of finances for the ministries that we believe that God has called us to. That's the truth. But that's not the case. That's not the case. So do we have 20% of the people giving 80% of the money? Or certainly some kind of disproportionate thing going on there? If you haven't signed up to regular, committed, disciplined giving, perhaps moving towards tithing your income, please do so. Please, please do so. It will be such a blessing to you and to all of us if you do so. Pick up a leaflet, because you will grow in your walk with Jesus Christ if you bring your finances under the Lordship of God. We want not only the fivefold ministries expressed, but we want everybody involved. Everybody involved. How can you get involved? Well, we heard from Emma about the burgeoning youth ministry. You can get involved in. The only limitation to the youth ministry at the moment is sufficient committed volunteers. You can get involved. I think you've got plenty of people in kids, so you don't need any volunteers. I think Shreya does need some more volunteers in kids. The English Cafe, you know, it's growing. Marvelous things out. We need more people. The homeless ministries, the Wednesday Club that has doubled in the last 6 months. There are any number of ways to get involved. We want to get everybody involved. The second half of this passage, which I'll just look at very, very quickly now, is a description of what maturity will look like. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth, by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. You know, I find so many people, including even people in the church, are tossed back and forth. They're blown here and there by the spurious ideas that are out in the world. The internet is a positive snake pit of crazy and sometimes really nasty ideas. And I do urge you to be really circumspect about what you read on the internet. There's a load of not very nice stuff there. So continuing verse 15, I should say. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ, from him the whole body, you notice that? The whole body, that is everybody. From him the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part, again, notice that? Each part, it involves everyone. Each part does its work. This morning, just before the 9:30 service, I went up to the church offices on the third floor. And on the third floor, adjacent to our church offices, we've got a flat roof with a railing around it. And in summer, you can sit out there. It's really lovely, actually. Beautiful views. And we've got a few plastic chairs. But I don't know whether you've noticed, it's been really windy today. And up there on the third floor at 9:30 this morning, it was blowing a gale, absolute gale. And the plastic chairs were being tossed around by the wind, literally flying through the air out on the flat roof. And I thought, one of those is going to fly straight over the railings and land on someone's head. So ever the hero, I opened the door and immediately went bang and flew out. And I wrenched it out against the wind and I grabbed the chair and I got it back in. And North Finchley is a safer place because of my exploits. And then the Lord spoke to me because I was just preaching on this text about being tossed by the wind. And the Lord said to me, do you want to be tossed by the wind of every weird idea out there? Or do you want to be blown by the wind of the Spirit? Because you'll still be in the gale. There's a gale either way. But by the wind of the Spirit, we're fulfilling our destiny in God. So, where are the prophets? Where are the apostles? Where are the evangelists? Where are the shepherds and the teachers? I feel like I need to kind of call them out of you. That you would step up and be that mature church that the Lord desires us to be. Shall we stand?